Let's share together in the gospel lesson from Jesus with his disciples and the crowds gathered around him on the Sermon on the Mount. He says these words to us, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Amen. Please be seated. Well, today I'd like to begin a new series with you on being committed to Christ. Now, that's a fun word, isn't it? Committed or commitment. It's a word that seems to be losing a lot of ground these days because people really don't care a whole lot for making commitments. I mean, think about it. How good of a response do you get whenever you send in an RSVP? Do they work? Not so much. You almost may as well just kind of just forget about doing that. Don't waste your time. Folks really aren't too good at doing that anymore. Or say you're in charge of getting helpers for a church picnic or a children's outing or maybe a work day, and you ask folks and they say, "Well, you know, I'll try to be there, but I just can't commit right now." And why is that? Why is that? The reason for that is because life is so crazy. Our lives are so full of everything. Even if you're retired, it's just like there doesn't seem to be too many moments in the day. We've kind of got like 1,000 other things going. You see, making commitments and being committed is really a difficult thing today. But there are certain things that one must be committed to in order for life to be made whole and for life to be good. Things like our marriage, things like our family, our vocation, our work, and our most important thing is our commitment to God. And it has to come in that order with God and marriage and family and then vocation. But you see, our commitment to Christ, my relationship with God, must come before anything else in this order for everything else to work, for everything else to blossom, and everything else to grow. We have to truly have no other gods. We're not to put anything else before our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, being committed is just that. It's just like in our other relational commitments. In marriage, we commit ourselves to love and to honor, to cherish and to be faithful to one another and to hold one another up. In our commitment to our family, no matter what, we're going to love our kids, right? It's just going, we're going to love them. We might not be happy with what they do or don't do, but we're still going to love them, and we're going to take care of them. We're going to provide for them and to be encouragers for them and to protect them. You see, being committed means more than just making a commitment. And being committed to Christ means more than just to come to church or just to get baptized or becoming a member. It's also about becoming a disciple and living a generous life because of the one whom I am committed to. So for the next few weeks, about the next 6 weeks together, I'd like for us to learn and to look at what it really means to be a committed to Christ. And in our commitment, I want us to look at 6 different steps that's going to help us lead us to a generous life. 6 steps that'll serve, you might say, as a roadmap, helping us to become mature Christian disciples. And I really don't want our time to just be kind of head knowledge. I want us to truly open ourselves to God's holy presence and let God transform us and challenge us in these six steps. I don't want any of us to leave here today or certainly in the next 6 weeks together to leave here the same as we came in. And so what I plan to do every Sunday for the next 6 weeks is to invite you to grow step by step in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Each Sunday, I'm going to share with you a commitment card, and I'm going to ask that you fill out this card to help you to plan that growth. Each Sunday, I'm going to invite you to take one new step in each of these six areas of discipleship. And yeah, I'm going to ask you to put your name on that piece of paper, on that commitment card. After all, it's not much of a commitment if we can't put our name to it. Amen? Amen? And I'll be the only one who sees that commitment card. And at the end of our 6 weeks, I'm going to share with you in a letter tabulating our total commitments made over these weeks together. And in that letter, I'm also going to return your commitment cards that you filled out each week as a reminder of the six steps that you're taking to become and to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. So I really hope that you can be here now over these next several weeks together. So, ready to get started? Boy, that's good, because I am. Our first step to a generous life as a committed Christian church begins with prayer. Imagine that. Begins with prayer. Imagine. And so the invitation today is that we together grow one step in our prayer life, no matter where you are in that. Yeah, maybe you're already praying daily, or maybe you're a person who just prays before meals, or maybe you don't do that, or maybe you spend an hour or so in the morning or at night in prayer, or maybe the only time you pray is here at church, or just when life gets out of control, which could be often. But the invitation today is that no matter what your prayer life looks like, no matter where you're at in your prayer life, I want to invite you to grow at least one step in your prayer life today. You see, prayer is not something that you can do too much of. You can't love your spouse too much, right? You can't enjoy the company of your spouse too much. And prayer is kind of like that. You can't do it too often. It can't be done too much. Prayer is something that will absolutely transform your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. And oh my, as we commit to this and as we commit to making a new step in our prayer life, I truly believe you are going to be totally, incredibly blessed. Listen, there is power in prayer. Power not from you, but power from on high that can transform your life, that can move mountains, that can bring hope and real change, not only to you, but to even those whom you lift up before the Lord. I tell you, if you want to juice up your spiritual life, prayer. Man, prayer is the way to do that. And don't make it hard. You know, there's a story I heard of Jesus and the disciples sitting down to eat. Now, you're not going to find this in the Bible. It's just one of those stories, you know. And Jesus turned to Peter and he asked him to pray before they ate. And Peter said, oh, I'd be happy to do that. And so everyone bowed their heads and Peter prayed aloud, oh, existential manifestation of the cosmic force, the ground of our being, the first principle of the essential causality, hear our supplication, O mighty one of the universe. Pour upon all who are afflicted this day, are distressed, are continually the continual dew of thy blessing, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve their several necessities, giving them a happy issue of all their afflictions. Fulfill now the petitions of thy servant as may be the most expedient for them, for the sake of him who ever liveth to make thy these gifts before us, that our bodies might be strengthened in the name of him who made by his one oblation a full and sufficient sacrifice. Amen. And Jesus looked up at Peter and said, "Say what?" You see, prayer does not have to be complicated or difficult, and we should not make it so. It shouldn't get lost in all kinds of theological detail or liturgical formality and religious language. You know, it's no wonder that so many people don't know how to make heads or tails out of prayer. We're surrounded by people who want to have a wonderful relationship with God, but sometimes when they turn to the church and they say, you know, "Teach us to pray," they get a response that really doesn't feed their spiritual hunger at all. I really like how Adam Hamilton put it. He said that God offers us an ocean, and we choose a puddle instead. You know, listen, God invites you and me to go deep with him, to swim in that ocean with him. God invites us to give us the depth of his presence in our lives, the depth of a life filled with joy, the depth of the power and the strength in the midst of those times of adversity. Jesus knew those depths, yet he lived in an ocean of constant communion with God. I wonder if Hamilton is right that most people choose not to go deep but to live in the shallow end of life. We choose the puddle instead of the ocean. We choose the puddle in our relationship with God, in our prayer life. And we try to stomp around in that as much as we can when there's a whole ocean out there for us to be in. You know, one of the great things about living in Selma and driving to Muncie or driving over here to New Burlington Church here that I'll be doing at about 11 o'clock is that I've got about 12, 15 minutes of time in that. And in that time, you know, I often find myself praying. I give thanks to God for those things that he's doing in my life and for those things and people who he impresses upon my heart. Sometimes I just listen and God just moves. Other times I'll turn on WBCL or K-Love and I'll just kind of, you know, just kind of praise the Lord and laugh and sing along with the songs and everything and going down the road, you know, and people passing me like, "What is going on with that guy?" And but you know, for me, I've discovered that's really kind of a time that's just kind of puddle jumping for me. It really is. And don't get me wrong, this is a wonderful time for me. This is a great time to walk with God. But if this was my only prayer time with the Lord is whenever I communed and I commune with him, and I'd be missing so much. I'd be missing. You see, where I find myself stepping from the puddle to the ocean is when I'm with my prayer group on Wednesday night over at New Burlington, or I'm here with my folks here, and we have that prayer time together, and we're able to share God's Word. And Sunday morning when we're able to be here and we join hands with one another and we lift up our hearts and our lives before the Lord and we give God thanks and we truly come into His presence and we lift up our world and we lift up our community in prayer. Or it's when I'm awakened in the middle of the night or something comes to me in the middle of the day and I know I just need to stop whatever I'm doing and God impresses upon me a name of someone here in the church or in another church that I've served, and that's when I go into the Lord with prayer. And or a step into the ocean when it's late in the evening, and I come in here and I sit here in the pews, or I kneel here at the communion rail, and in that dim light or in no light at all, just to pray, just to give God thanks and break my heart open before Him. And you know, in those moments, I often find myself lifting up liquid prayers. You? Yeah. Some of those tears from my own shortcomings, often they come as I look over those that we've lifted up in prayer on Sunday morning, where you've poured out your hearts. And in this time with the Lord, I truly sense God's presence, and that He hears these prayers for marriages, or for hopes, for dreams, for broken bodies, for damaged relationships. But it's here in this place, in that dim light, that I truly find myself in that ocean surrounded by the presence of God. You see, my invitation for you today is to move from the puddle, if that's where you find yourself, is to move from the puddle to the ocean. And to allow God to hold you and to mold you and to empower you to make that commitment to at least move one step up in your prayer life, and to not make prayer a difficult thing, because it's really not. You know, I think one of the things that Jesus revealed to us in Matthew 6 when he was up on that mountain teaching, He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, those people who want others to look at them and marvel at how religious that they must be because of how they prayed and what they prayed about. And don't use a bunch of meaningless words. Use words that are truly you. Be yourself. You know? Don't babble on and on and on. God knows your heart. God knows what you're struggling with. Just get to it. In other words, don't be that person that just goes on and on and on, thinking that the many words might make a difference. You see, Jesus is teaching us that prayer is a very natural and a very simple thing to do. As natural and as simple as talking to your friend and are eating or sleeping or breathing. Prayer isn't difficult, nor is it a complicated thing really at all. And I wonder how many of us need to hear that truth this morning, that prayer is as simple and natural as talking to your friend, as talking with your spouse, as sharing with your kids. It's the very same. I love how Richard Foster, in his book, Finding God's True Home, Finding the Heart of God's True Home, he says, God receives us just as we are and accepts our prayers just as they are. In the same way that a small child cannot draw a bad picture, so a child of God cannot offer a bad prayer. Amen? He says, so we are brought to the most basic, the most primary form of prayer, simple prayer. Like children before a loving Father, we open our hearts and make our requests. Simple prayer. I think that's what Jesus was teaching on that mountain those years ago. Now, the prayer that we sometimes use in worship, or maybe we memorized when we were young, is the Lord's Prayer. It's based on this beautiful, simple prayer that Jesus taught that we shared with one another a while ago. In this prayer, I want you to hear this. Don't miss this. In this prayer, there are 67 words. 67 words in this prayer. Do you know how many of these words are one syllable? 49. 49 out of 67 words are just one syllable words. Isn't that interesting that when Jesus taught us to pray, He taught us to use one syllable words? You know, take that for the great existential, whatever, one word. Wow. Maybe that's because prayer, according to Jesus, and what he was teaching on the mountain, that prayer doesn't have to be fancy and sophisticated or impressive, because God is down to earth. God is loving and personable, and he wants to have that kind of relationship with you and me. So maybe the best kind of prayer that we can offer is just simple. Simple and from our heart. I think. If you're not really sure what to pray for, whenever I pray, I'm not sure. Well, goodness sakes, you can always pray for your pastor. I can use all the prayers I can get. All right? Pray that God would give me his vision here for our church, that I'd be able to discern that for strength and for health, for patience, and especially for endurance with my two grandkids. I need that. I know that there are people in previous churches I've served that are praying for me today. I know that. And if you don't know who to pray for, oh my goodness, pray for me. I would greatly appreciate that. Or maybe you might pray the five blessings that make up the word bless. If you see the word bless, you pray for your body, for health and for protection for you or others, for your labor, for your work, for your income, for your security, for emotions, for joy and peace and hope. Pray that social thing of your life. So in your love and in your marriage, your family, your friends, and praying for those. And for certain, your spiritual part of your life, for your salvation, for the faith that God gives you, and asking God to give others, and for the grace. But church, we really don't need to have to use all kinds of fancy words. We don't need even to have proper grammar. You don't need clever cliches or proper sentence structure, and you don't even need words that flow poetically. All you need is a heart that loves God and a human need that needs to be addressed somewhere in your world. I tell you, if you pray that way from your heart, expressing to the Lord whatever you want to, what you need to share, the good, the bad, the ugly, man, you can be assured that the Lord hears your prayers. You see, the Lord is wonderful for more than most of us would even ever guess. The Lord is close to all of us all the time, far closer than really most of us would even begin to imagine. Prayer is the way in which we can be in touch with the Lord and the Lord in touch with us. And so what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's the Lord expect of you and of me? What holy habits should I cultivate in my life as I walk with God and as I seek to be His disciple in this world? Well, the answer to these questions is that it all begins with prayer. It all begins with prayer. Jesus' disciples are people who pray. All right? The Lord expects His children to be in communion with Him, and that begins with prayer. And our first holy habit that we really need to cultivate in our life is our spiritual walk. In our spiritual walk in Christ is simply in prayer. And so the question this morning is, are you ready to grow in your prayer life? And where is that? Where can that be? See, you and I both know that God doesn't always answer the prayers in the ways in which we want them to be answered. Thank goodness for that, right? Sometimes He does, but often it doesn't. But there are those times that we truly believe that we are praying in God's will, yet, you know, our prayers don't seem to be answered. And I don't know why. Maybe it has to do with God's timing. Maybe it has to do with free will, or maybe God sees the bigger picture than what I do. But what I do know is that God hears our prayers, and God cares about you and me, and that I know that whatever comes my way, that God's going to walk with me through my journey every step, and that I should continue to keep on praying and to never lose heart. Today I want to invite you as a committed Christian to take that first step that's going to lead you to a generous life, helping you to mature as Jesus' disciples. I want to invite you to make a commitment to grow in your prayer life. And so we're going to have a little music. Greg's going to play for us. Our ushers at this time are going to pass out some commitment cards that I'm going to want you to look at. This is what's on them and all. And if you can read that, great. You've got better eyesight than I do. But if the ushers, if you would come now and let's pass out our commitment cards to the folks here in the church. And then just take some time. And I'd like for it to each of you to just kind of be honest with God and yourself as you decide how you're going to strive growing in your prayer life. Check all those little boxes that apply. And then as you leave church today, there's three containers. I have one back here on the back pew and one that's on the table out here for those who exit. And then I have one out here on the radiator by the bulletin board. So I have three places that you can drop that comment or that commitment card into. And as we share. Go now in the presence of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience His peace all the days of your life. Amen. Amen.